Good afternoon, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler. For those listening, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. Those fish guys got it easy. Everything's in water. If anglers don't have success, they can just say the fish weren't biting that day, you know, they can, but anyway. So thanks for allowing this to be on the schedule. I want to give you an update here on some of the activities that have occurred since I guess the last time we presented to you on this topic in commission meeting in November. I'd like to start the presentation with a reminder to everybody here in this room, the commission, our staff, and those listening, why we're discussing CWD today. CWD was first confirmed in South Dakota nearly 20 years ago, you know, so it's not unlikely we're going to get some questions asking us why are we worrying about CWD now, okay? And I think that's a legitimate question, and I think some of our answers to that is looking at some of the new research findings and the suggested negative impact to deer and elk and their population growth rates in some states that are just immediately adjacent to South Dakota. Updated and some concerning preliminary prevalence rates of chronic wasting disease within elk in Wind Cave and in Custer State Park. I think we've got a duty here to ensure viable populations of deer and elk, not only for us now or the next 5 years, but 50 to 100 years from now. There's a lot we have learned recently about the disease, but there's some things we don't know about it, and we need to keep long-term in front of us here. And I think that, you know, just the overall importance of these species to our hunters and, you know, our hunters' role and their contributions to wildlife management. A lot of the things we do within our department we would not be able to do because of without hunters and their contributions to what we do here. So just to start off, I want to thank all the members of our stakeholder group that traveled to Pierre back in November and spent a majority of a day meeting with several department staff. Secretary Hepler, you were there for a while that day, and Commissioner Locke, and I appreciate you coming down and spending your whole day with us there. We had that meeting on November 28th. Of the 26 stakeholders that we have identified and provided invites to, I think we had 20 members present. Quite the turnout. Probably one of the highest level of engagements that I've been involved with, and I've been on several of these stakeholder groups, and Commissioner Locke, and you can probably attest to this, but I think we had a great conversation. I don't remember anybody raising their voice or being unpolite or unprofessional. We had a very good dialogue, and a lot of those members were very much interactive and engaged in the process. So we had presentations were provided by our department. Andy Lindblom led a good presentation, and Steve Griffin on the history of chronic wasting disease within South Dakota. Dr. Mendel Miller from the South Dakota Animal Industry Board was there to have some discussions on how they manage chronic wasting disease, the rules and statutes that are in place for them from the captive cervid side of things. And then Greg Schrader from Wind Cave National Park was there and provided some oral presentations and information on some of the research and activities going on in Wind Cave National Park. I'm not going to go through all these, but just some of the main discussions, you know, just the background on the disease itself and the history here in South Dakota. We had some really good discussion on the movement of carcasses and their disposal, whether it's hunters coming into South Dakota from outside of another state or movement of carcasses within the state of South Dakota. Communications and outreach to hunters and the public, I think that was probably one of the most needed, and just that's kind of where a lot of our focus is going to have to be here if we want to be successful in trying to limit the spread the best we can with chronic wasting disease is just that communication and outreach and keeping our hunters and our public informed on the things as we move forward here. Again, had some discussion on captive cervids, a little bit on game processing, whether it's a hunter that does the processing, him or her, themselves, or if they take it commercially. You know, is there some potential to work with commercial processors, taxidermists, or the Department of Transportation on obtaining additional samples from maybe some desired geographic areas that we feel we want to try to determine or do a better increased surveillance efforts on presence or absence of the disease? Was some discussion on baiting and feeding of wildlife. A little bit on scents and lures, and then there was some discussion on our future surveillance needs and some of the logistics and staffing and budgeting requirements when it comes to some of that enhancement in regards to surveillance. The next slide here is just, I just want to reemphasize to those in this room and those listening that, you know, our department's website is going to be kind of the clearinghouse for disseminating information and providing updates to our public on this disease management. You know, folks can go to our homepage. I think at the top right, you can click on conservation, and then there's a drop down for wildlife diseases. And underneath that, you can find CWD, or you can just simply do a search at our homepage on chronic wasting disease, and it'll get us to our landing page there, where that's going to be our kind of our one-stop shop for providing information and updates and things like that related to our public and hunters. On our CWD page, you can find audio and PDFs of the presentations provided to our commission. I was just going to give this presentation orally, but I want to try to document some of this stuff, and we can upload this presentation to our website so our public can, you know, we can be as transparent as we can, and they can kind of read and follow along with this. Our notes from our stakeholder group meeting and any presentations from there, and I believe Commissioner Locken, you had shared the notes from that stakeholder group meeting. I just want to make sure that you folks have those in hand, and when you have time, I hope you take some time to read through those. And then at the bottom of one of our pages, we've got a timeline of the plan development. That'll be kind of one of my last slides here. I want to make sure we go over that with you today so everybody is fully aware of how we kind of envision this progressing forward. And, you know, once finalized, we're going to talk about this too. I want to have some discussion on you on some additional public involvement, whether that's a public meeting or public open house, and just kind of get some feedback from you on that process. So just some updates here. You know, we held the first stakeholder group meeting. This is updates since November. Had an opportunity to sit down with our infamous Chris Hall and do a podcast and blast, which talked about some things regarding chronic wasting disease and our deer season setting process, which I hope some members of the public would find interesting, just all the work that goes into that from out in the field, working with local staff all the way up through the process with our commission here. Keith Fisk and I met with a member of South Dakota Department of Transportation on utilizing road-killed deer or elk for disease testing. We currently work with DOT on picking up roadkill animals on certain stretches of the highways within the state. And is there an opportunity during that time of year, say October through early March, where we could potentially, we've got some logistics to go through and figure out, but I think there's some opportunity there to utilize some of those roadkills and use them for sampling, and in fact in portions of the state where we haven't done much sampling. We've got an upcoming meeting set up with the South Dakota Animal Industry Board. Kind of skipped over one there. Back to the South Dakota Taxidermy Association. I've had a couple correspondents on the phone with their president talking about the possibility of partnering with, I believe we have just over 200 taxidermists licensed by our department across the state, and their president has reached out to some of their members, and I just talked to him the other day, and there is some quite a bit of interest there to work with our department on having those taxidermists pull samples for us, and we work with them to submit those to the lab, and we'd obviously have to reimburse those taxidermists for some of that time, but getting samples from adult male deer or elk has a lot of weight when it comes to the surveillance of that disease from past research. There's a great opportunity there for us with probably, you know, minimal effort on our part, and we'll see what it would take to work with those taxidermists. But I'm sure we can work some reasonable rate with them to we need to compensate them for their time in doing that. Animal Industry Board, we've got a meeting set up with them to kind of review an MOU that's put in place related to CWD management of both wild and captive cervids. So we'll be meeting with them here in the near future again. We met with them back in August on this topic as well. And then I've reached out to several conservation organizations. I just want to make sure that any organization out there, we're willing to come out and meet with your groups just to provide information on chronic wasting disease and some of the concerns with that, and to gather some feedback. And not just groups, but if there's any individual out there that wants to reach out to the department, just feel free to contact your local office, and we'll put you in the right staff person to have those conversations on. And we're going to be compiling that information and sharing it with our stakeholder group and our internal work group as we move forward here. So next slide here. this doesn't really mean much, but we had another internal meeting there just before Christmas. This was after our stakeholder work group. We just wanted to get together and talk about some things while stuff was still fresh in our minds. Right now we've got several staff assisting with various segments of the draft plan. Got great staff on board, and a lot of folks we're busy on a lot of things right now, but they've made a commitment to help us get a plan put together here. And so working with various staff members there. Communication staff, Emily and her staff continue to discuss, methods and timing of communication and outreach with our hunters and public. I know they've had a couple meetings here in the past on this topic, and we'll be meeting with them here again here in a week or 10 days to further talk about some of this stuff. We've had some initial discussions on additional public involvement, and I guess one thing after our discussion with, I think it was Kevin and Cindy and Tom and myself met the other day and talked about this. And I know you folks have, over the last year, have had a lot of public involvement on a lot of various topics. And I just want to kind of throw out a concept that I think would be beneficial on this topic. And I guess what we're kind of looking at doing would be hosting four, you could call them public open houses. Commissioner Jensen, you probably remember one of them we did on mountain lions and elk in the Black Hills when we were working on those management plans. I think you were there for one or maybe both of them, where we have a short presentation of 15 to 20, 25 minutes, and then we have some stations set up where the public that attend can kind of have a more one-on-one interaction or a smaller group setting where we would hope people would feel more comfortable and at least asking questions or be able to inform them, solicit some feedback or input from them on that. So I guess right now we're kind of playing with the idea of having four of these, one in Rapid City, one in Pierre, one in Aberdeen, and one in Sioux Falls, just kind of throwing that out there. I guess I'd like to maybe get some input from you folks on that. Is that something you think would be worthwhile? Do you think we need to be doing more in regards to this topic in developing the action plan? Any thoughts or comments on that, Mr. Chair?
I think it'd be a great idea. The one that you're talking about, or those out in Rapid City, I thought were well attended and well received. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Jensen.
Does CWD just always seem to me like it just kind of idled along there and it stayed about the same? Probably year in, year out, if you averaged it out, doesn't ever vary that much. Do you agree with that, or is it increasing, or what is the status right now, like between elk and deer? And
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Jensen, are you talking about the number of positives that we find from year to year? I would say based on our current surveillance efforts that might be true. I'd have to look at some numbers, but I'd be honest with you, we just have not done enough to probably have a good pulse as to the presence and absence of this disease across the state, outside of our known areas, nor anything remotely close enough to, with any statistical power, produce any prevalence rates on any of the populations. You know, in Custer State Park, we have a mandatory submission now, so we're going to be getting some good data on that within Custer State Park for both deer and elk. But to try to answer that with any indication of trend on the disease or its geographic distribution within the state, outside of our sick surveillance and whatnot, I don't have a real good answer for you.
Sure. I mean, if it's one of those things that just is kind of there and you really you can't hardly prevent it now, I mean, there's, with the information we have now, there's really no certain control. I'm just saying, you know, I wouldn't spend a lot of time if it's something you aren't going to have any effect on anyway. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, if it's something we can prevent, I would say get it. But
yeah, we're, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Jensen, I don't think with the data that's available now in the scientific community that there's any way we're going to get rid of chronic wasting disease and that prion on the landscape. I think we owe it to ourselves and our responsibility for managing big game in the state. We need to know as much as we can about its current distribution and to implement whether it's any rules or some management practices to reduce the spread.
Yeah, that's a good statement.
I think the thing with chronic wasting disease is when you compare that to hemorrhagic disease, whether it's blue tongue or HD, that's very noticeable by the public and landowners and our hunters. I mean, we have lots of deer that die in a very short amount of time, and they're easy to find, and people come across them quite readily. Whereas chronic wasting disease takes a little bit more time for those individuals to succumb to that disease, and it's just not that readily apparent or available.
Sure.
that the public finds.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Kirschman, Wildlife Division as well, and I think Chad just hit the nail on the head there. One of the important things that we're trying to accomplish through this effort is to minimize or reduce the spread of CWD. It's there. We cannot remove it. That is a foregone given. We know that. So the efforts and the things that we're talking about is to minimize or reduce that spread of it across the state. We know in other states, a neighboring state, Nebraska, just to the south of us, it's amazing in a short amount of time how they have found CWD positive results, and it keeps creeping eastward across their state. So we know it spreads, and so we're looking at those methods and means that we can help reduce that spread. Again, looking at those long-term impacts to our big game populations.
Secretary Hepler, and I just want to go back and reinforce that. I mean, and Barry, you ask, I think, an excellent question, and I'm sure we're going to give the same type of presentation to the legislature next week. And I'll be surprised some of those committee members don't ask that question, but I think it's really important to emphasize, I mean, also the science around what this disease potentially due to humans is still evolving. Mm-hmm. We don't know. You know, this is one of those ones that's kind of looking at habitat. We're looking 30, 40 years out. And if we don't take action now, I'll guarantee you that people sitting 30, 40 years out are wondering what we were doing. And it's like the discussion we have with aquatics people and, you know, those mussels. I mean, we can't stop them once they get here, although I guess we're doing better at trying to remove them. But you can stop the spread. This is exactly the same thing. And along with this pressure, then we want to do live testing, you know, for some of our farms, you know, these high fence farms. And that isn't possible right now. The science around the live testing, that's where we're trying to go. But also, some of these states just caused significant economic harm to their deer herds because it got out and it really didn't nail those herds. Because right now, you can't see it. But Chad's right. Once it's there, you can't remove it. But that also does not take away our responsibility to ensure we don't spread it.
Chad?
Yeah.
Oh. So I guess we'll get to the timeline of some of this additional public involvement. But do you folks feel that we should be doing something else or raising the bar a little bit more on this? I mean, obviously there's going to be ample opportunity for public comment on the draft plan. It'll be in front of the commission, whether that's a normal 30-day public comment. You might consider a need for 60 days. I don't know where that may or may not go, but you know, we're going to do our best to make ourselves available to various organizations, individuals.
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you, Commissioner Jensen. I just think it's a good time for outreach, and I think one in the western part of the state, Rapid City area, Hot Springs, Custer, would be great because people are asking about this and they want to know, and education is very important, and I think we would have good turnouts, and I think it would be a great time to reach out to those folks.
Commissioner Locken.
Commissioner Locken here. We've never identified a case in East River yet, and boy, we don't want to have to find one there. This is our time to try to fend that off a little bit. North Dakota, basically, I think we could say South Central North Dakota on the west side of the Missouri River. They found some cases this past fall, and I know Minnesota, in that Rochester, Minnesota area, they had a special hunt where they just went in and tried to kill all the deer they could in a small geographical area, and I don't think we want to get into a situation like that where we have to do anything like that. Disposing of carcasses is a tough deal because so many people are butchering their own deer, and those carcasses can go anywhere. As a farmer, I see them in road ditches all over the place. We have our North Dakota farm, and there's a burned out basement where they burned the house on Halloween, and now everything gets dumped there, and there was literally a road around that basement. And I said to the neighbor there, what are people doing there? And they said, well, that's where everybody in town drops their deer carcasses. I didn't know what was going on. And there was an elk that was shot in western South Dakota that was used in a Halloween haunted forest thing back at home. You know, and we just need to educate people. We just can't be doing that stuff anymore. It just doesn't work anymore. The world has changed, and maybe we won't get ahead of this thing. I don't know, but we certainly have to. We owe it to the future generations to do what we can. Prevalence is going to be a really tough issue because you can't test a live animal. You don't know which ones have got it. They can look good, and they'll have it. And let's see where it goes.
Yeah, so I just wanted to have this discussion a little bit. I just didn't want to get to a point in time when we brought regulations or recommendations for rules or for adoption of the plan that we look back in hindsight, we probably should have done this or that. And a guy can never do too much of this. We're going to do our best job to do what we think is adequate within the time frame we have. And it's going to be a continual progress of outreach and communicating with our public. It's not going to end once the plan is done. That's when the work is going to begin. So anyway, moving on here, if I may. I just talked with the SDSU lab last week, and we're in communication with them all the time on various topics, but I just wanted to ensure with them or to hear assurance from them that if we decide to really ramp up surveillance, if we decide to bring them 2,000 roadkill deer that we pick up with DOT, can their lab withstand that workload coming in a short window of opportunity? And they said, absolutely, we're ready here to assist you with that. So I think we've got a real good lab there, and they were just accredited on another test there for CWD. So the SDSU lab is right there and ready to work with us. You know, we're going to soon be having some discussions with some commercial processors on some of the things with them, whether there's assistance they can provide us on providing samples for to send in for testing and things like that. And then had some interviews with the media on CWD management, which is good. I appreciate them reaching out to us and putting that out in a factual and informative manner. So this is going to get a little busy, but I just felt it was important to kind of go through some of this stuff. So timeline moving forward, obviously today we're here providing the next update to the commission. By February 1st, it's our plan to have the draft action plan available and out for public comment. Again, we'll be working with Emily and her staff on doing everything we can to make sure the public is aware of this, that it's out there. We want to hear from them. We want their input. February 22nd is going to be the end of the first public comment period on the first draft. Looking at the time period from February to March, we're going to be going out and meeting with our regional staff in our regional meetings. Going to be, again, reaching out and meeting with any organizations or other stakeholders that want to have discussions with us on CWD itself or on the action plan, and going to be soliciting public comment during that time period. At the commission meeting on February 28th and March 1st, we'll present a summary of the modifications that were incorporated from public comment on that first draft plan and provide you a second and hopefully much improved draft to you as a commission for your review. And I would anticipate that you would make that available maybe for another 30 days of public comment. March 11th will be our next CWD stakeholder group meeting that will be held here in Pierre. I would encourage any of you that would like to attend, please let me know, and we'll make sure we have enough pizza for you there for lunch if you decide to come to attend. After that next stakeholder group meeting, that's when we would envision holding these public open houses across the state. We'd probably do as many of these as we could. It's going to take some work and staff time, but we feel it's important to do, and that's the time period we're looking to conduct those. March 20th and 21st is when we would have our next CRD meeting, where we discuss and have good dialogue and develop recommendations that we take to Director Life and Secretary Hepler and develop formal department recommendations to bring to you as a commission. Your April meeting is where we would, if you're agreeable and we feel we're in the right time to do that, would ask for your adoption of a final draft plan, and then present any department recommendations related to any applicable administrative rules that we feel are needed as a result of the plan. And then your May meeting in Custer State Park, we would finalize any of those rules and follow up on implementing the plan, getting all this information interjected into the deer application, and do our best outreach we can to our elk hunters if there's any changes on them in regards to that, because our elk application will be out just prior to this, but we can work with our communication staff and get the word out. So with that, that's all I've got today. I went longer than I thought I was going to, but I guess Tom and I are here to answer any questions you might have or comments.
We'll use the timer the next time.
Yeah. Thanks, Greg. That's your parting shot, right?
Any questions or comments? Thank you. Thanks. Good report.